Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
And I'm going to talk to you today about the power of your words. Your words. And there was so much to say about this in the Bible, and I wrote this down, because really what it says is, and I found just doing reading through, that really you could eat your words and not like the taste of it. So words become substance, and we'll prove this out in Scripture, because there's no word that I know of, once it's spoken, it produces something, and it goes to work. So we want to take a venture through this, because when the words become substance, it's what is invisible becomes visible. What is invisible becomes visible. Words are invisible, but once you release them, they become visible, and we're going to show you the substance they produce. The very first one I found was, guess where? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And then I'll highlight what you need to hear in this, because for your Bible, it's going to be all black. But wherever God said, I put in dark red, where Jesus said, I put in light red. And this is what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven, not the heavens, the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness, everybody say darkness, was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved or hovered over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and guess what? There was light. What had to happen first? He had to say it. God had to say it. So if everything that God said comes visible, that means that everything we say will become visible. It's going to produce for us. So if we begin to look at seeing things that are going on in our life and they're not going the right way we want them to go, you need to look back in retrospect and look, do an inventory of what you've been saying. Because your words will hurt you, but not me. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but what you call me will never hurt me. Will never hurt me. It may hurt my feelings, but this power of words is so profound. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Impossible with men. That'll never happen. Well, who are you believing? And what are you believing for? And then what are you talking about? Because you will have what you say. And I'll give you a chapter and verse on that. So nothing began without words. Yes? Nothing. And if that's the way it all started, it carries right on through the entire Old Testament into the New Testament, to the point where Jesus said, and we'll go there, where he said, have the God kind of faith back from Genesis, that whosoever, you, me, whosoever shall say to this mountain, this huge thing's in front of you, whosoever shall speak to that mountain, shall say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into yonder sea, it shall be done, and he, the person who said it, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Yes. I'm glad you're all smiling so much this morning. Say, wow, you mean I can have what I say? Yes, not only can you have it, you will have it. Some people look at me and say, I don't believe in that confession stuff. Well, if you don't, I'll give you a clue. If you don't believe in that confession stuff, you are not saved. Because you had to believe with your heart and you had to say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So if you don't believe in this word stuff and the confession stuff, then I'd have to tell you you're not saved because you didn't confess Jesus as your Lord. And a lot of different denominations refuse to accept that fact. And all I got to say is, if you don't confess or say that Jesus is your Lord, you're not saved. Bottom line, explanation point 100 times out. Think about it. So, first of all, we got to get worded up. We got to get worded up. How much can you handle? It's like eating food every day. So nothing began without words. Hallelujah. I just want to throw this in there because I was watching Charles Stanley for two solid programs last night, and he looked like me. Gray hair, more of it. But here's what I heard. I heard him preaching actually from an outline. Isn't that cool? Why is that so cool? Because some don't follow an outline, don't have to, because they got it memorized. But this man was teaching from this outline, step by step. The verse would come up, and then what he was saying about that verse came up on the screen, which told me that something was written down. Right? But the most important thing I want you to know is what I heard was word. What I heard was word. And guess what? It did a transformation inside me to want to produce and expand on this whole thing more, because the first words that ever became substance was when God said, "Let there be light." And it continued on. I'm going to help somebody out today. Hallelujah. And he goes all the way down to verse 26. This is still God talking. And then he said, I'm believing he still loves us. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." What God was saying, we want to make man just like us. In other words, everything we say, we will get. Everything we say, we'll get. And God produced this tripart man. Spirit, soul, and body. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground." Was that substance? It was, wasn't it? Why? Because his word produced substance. And then what he did with that substance, he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Was that a physical thing that he breathed into? Yes. All because in the beginning, God said, I'm going to help somebody today. And then it says, the breath of life came in and man became. So he wasn't before that. Man became a living soul. Why? Because God said it. And we got to come in alongside God and realize that when God said something, he got what he said. And he said, this is the principle that's going to work throughout all generations. Because if you don't like what you're getting, change what you're saying. Yes. If you don't like what you're getting, change what you're saying. Oh, I get so angry about this. Then don't say you're getting angry about it. See, I'm getting so full of joy because the more I fall down, the stronger I get. Oh, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Listen, we're not going for a TKO. You know, it's kind of like, okay, what God is saying, you're going to be just like me. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool. I want you to see that one. Psalm 14, verse 1. I didn't see what, okay, God, what's this? This has got nothing about you saying anything, Lord. And he said, read the verse. Read the verse. Because you know what's in there? It says what? The fool has said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Too bad for the fool, because he can't stop there being a God. But he said there is no God, therefore doesn't worship God, therefore has no influence with God, and can't get help from God because he doesn't believe that there is God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And it goes like this. They are corrupt and they have done abominable works. There is none that does good. This is the fool. And here's what the Holy Spirit said. Let's see the light on that. The fool, to the fool, there is no presence of God in his life because he said there is no God. Hold on that for a while. Everybody inhale, exhale, say I'm alive, and breathing, and living on planet Earth. Pastor's way out there, but we're still on Earth. Listen, we can boldly go where no man has gone before with God. Hallelujah. So this fool, he's saying this because, and the psalmist wrote this, and I looked at it and said, who would be so foolish to put that in there? And he said, the fool. The fool? John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word. And I thought it interesting that Genesis 1 opened with the same three words, in the beginning. And way forward to John's gospel, it says, in the beginning. But he says, in the beginning was the Word. This said, in the beginning God created. So maybe you could tie them together. This is the same thing. It's all about Word, isn't it? In the beginning, God said Word. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, you got to really digest this. Because you know what? When you start to think about the power of what you say and you don't like what you're getting, I would say undo it. I would say let's get a handle on words. Not cuss words, good words. Good words. Talking to each other with good words. Talking to each other with positive reinforcement. Pat somebody on the back and say, hey, you're doing a good job. You know, that's a good word. That's a good word. And it says here that in the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. Way down to verse 14. So the Word was with God, the Word was God. So obviously they're one and the same, right? Word, God, one and the same. And the Word was made what? So what was invisible became visible.
That's right.
What was invisible became visible. With you, the same thing is working. What is invisible becomes visible. So we will have what we say. Get that. I want you to say this with me. I will have what I say, not what you say. See how that worked out? How many of y'all want what you say? Good. Good. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. More than a conqueror. Mom Pearl sat right there in that second row. She would always say, I'm blessed, highly favored, and anointed. She knew what she was talking about. She wasn't just saved. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. You should have heard her pray out there. When you don't want to pray, you're still going to pray Word. Just say, you don't understand what you're saying. But it's still a Word. So Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow, what a person to follow. What a person to be like. So in reality, in real time, in real life, in reality, words become substance when what you say manifests and becomes tangible. So I looked at this and looked at this and looked at this so it could become tangible in me so that I could see. But I was so, so overwhelmed this morning when I came in because, God, I said, you gave me too much. And he said, just do what I tell you. See, between the lines, there is nothing. Just hear the Spirit. So again, it says, in reality, words become substance when what you say manifests and becomes tangible. I just know I'm going to get that job. It may not look like it. It may not look like it's even unfolding. But I just know that I'm going to get my job. And then you're going to go from get to have. I just know I'm going to have that job. How do you know? Because what you say is what you get. You understand that? You're not going under, you're going over. Amen. Mark 11:23. Words are no respecter of persons. Know that. Doesn't matter who you are, words work. Words are no respecter of persons. In other words, what you say is what you get. I gave you this verse, but I want you to see this. Mark 11:23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, do you see that? Who's saying that? Jesus, right? You believe it? Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever, that's me and you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into yonder sea or into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It's red letter, it's blood bought, and you are going to eat your words. Isn't this good? I know it is because I'm hurting. I'm full. Glory to Jesus. So here's the key. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, anything that's bigger than you that's in your way. Anything that's bigger than you and in your way. He said, cast into yonder sea. In other words, cast it out so far it can't return. Whatever is bigger than you and it's in your way, God says, tell it to go. Tell it to go. Because you're bigger than that inside. You're bigger than any mountain. You're bigger than any ocean. You're bigger than all the water on the globe. You're bigger than that. Because words are no respecter of persons. And he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, what an analogy or object lesson to give his disciples. I can just imagine what they were thinking. Say what? Say to the mountain? Could you give us like a camel or something like that? You know, a donkey that moves real slow, or a camel. Could you give us something so simple like get out of the way? No, a mountain. Something so big. Be thou removed. Remember that verse. You're a whosoever. Whosoever shall say. Don't be afraid to talk to those things. Get out of my way. Be thou removed. Cast into the sea, so far away that you can't return. And shall not doubt or differ in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Would you like to walk around that kind of victory?
Thank you, Jesus, yes.
Jesse the Planets would say, none of these things move me. Why? Because none of these things move me. Why don't they move you? Because I said it. None of these things move me. Why? Because there's no differing or doubt in my heart, but believe. Oh, preaching pretty good. Hallelujah. You ready for some more? I'll give you the grand conclusion. That means it's way out there. Here's one that Jesus said. I like these red letter ones. Luke 11:2. I extracted like those four words that I saw there, and I put them in a headline because I said I wanted to see that big time. Here's what he said. And he said unto them, when you pray, say. Oh, I'm going to really do some climbing over some little rocks here and there to go this. 11:2. When you pray, say. You know, his disciples heard John the Baptist pray. And they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And here's what Jesus' response is. Well, when you pray, say. Our Father, all-inclusive with Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Here. I'm not talking about brick and mortar. I'm not talking about the planet, the dirt, the water, the mountains, the trees, the dust and the sand and all that stuff. No, I'm talking about what literally says here. Earth means man came from dust and to dust you shall return. Isn't that what happens when bodies decay? But guess what? That's not the spirit man. That's just the dirt.
That's right.
Woo! Preaching pretty good. Thank you very much. I received that. Hallelujah. So he says, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It's within you now. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Wow. I used to listen to WGIV. These all are befitting here. Anybody listen to WGIV, like Noontime or so on and so forth, when there were call-ins? And there was one person that called in, Floyd, I'm calling in an unspoken request. Okay, what is it? Well, it's unspoken. Unspoken request. And I said, wait a minute. He wants agreement on prayer, but he doesn't want to let them know what it is. And when I looked at that, I said, well, in reality, there's no such thing as an unspoken request, because if you're going to request something from God, you're going to have to ask him. I just wish God would help me. Why don't you talk to him? He'd love to hear from you. He really would. Just like children when they're away, mom and dad, we'd love to hear from you, you know, more than just once a year. Be cool. But that's what he said, in reality. So I looked at it and said, wow, in reality, there's no such thing as an unspoken request with God. So I listened and said, wow, okay, that's what that was. So, okay, so you can pray in the spirit with an unknown request, an unspoken request. And guess what? When you get into the spirit, you're praying out what you want prayer for. Everybody else is in agreement with you 100% because they're praying in agreement what you're praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see the benefit and blessing of praying in other tongues? Nobody has to know what you're saying. Oh. Wait till we teach on the Holy Ghost. Glory. That's not in this one. So I looked at that and said, when Jesus said, what he said is, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. Say what you want. And he said, say to this mountain. So I'm looking at the power of that word and the power of words and what happens. And we realize and we don't look at it and say, well, oh man, I got to go undo that. The best thing in the world you could do if you poison somebody with a bad word, go get forgiveness. Because they're the only ones that can release you. You understand that? Hey, the one that put you in bondage is the one that's got to unlock you. In other words, if you're trapped, the word will get you out. Wow. Then I found this one. The word, everybody say word. The word is the only faith producer. The word of God is the only faith producer. Words can produce fear, but the word of God is only a faith producer. And the word of faith which we preach, you understand that? In other words, we want to preach the word of faith. Which is what he's saying. I don't believe that stuff. Good, you lose. You don't want to be a born loser, do you? I don't believe any of that stuff. Well, if you don't believe it, you won't get it. If you don't believe it, you won't say it. If you don't say it, you won't get it. Because you shall have whatsoever you say. So I looked at this chapter in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10 and 13, 17. And I kept looking at it. And I read it, and it was all black. And I said, God, I'm going to highlight some of this in red. Is that okay with you? He says, yeah, but do it dark red. Okay. The word is the only faith producer. Why? Because Paul said it this way. What saith it? The word is nigh thee. How close, Paul? How close? How close? How close? You know, the word is nigh thee. You could sit right on top of your Bible, but it's not in you. You can have it in every room in the house, but it's not in you. You might have to wipe dust off it occasionally, but it's not in you. How do I know that? Because the word says that. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And he qualifies. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now watch verse 9. That if thou shalt confess or say with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wow, what a simple salvation package. No works. By grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look what I did. You didn't do anything. God did. Helping somebody today? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm trying to help you. Because you know what? I grew up with people that used words a lot, but they weren't good. Not good. Not even me. I used words a lot. They weren't good. I repented. Turned around. Got saved. Got a new mouth. Got a new thought life. Got a new body? Yeah. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess. Confess means speak the same thing as. The word confess is a homologeo. It means make the same thing. Speak the same thing. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Wow, all I got to do is say something with my mouth and I get saved. What it says here, if just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Call him your Lord. Believe with your heart that he was raised from the dead. He is God, not a God. He is God. Everybody say, Jesus is God, not a God. Y'all need to help somebody. You need to help somebody. At least sow some word. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto what? And with the mouth confession is made unto what? So here we got a package of righteousness and salvation. And down to verse 13. And he said, wow. Includes me. I'm a whosoever. Everybody say, I'm a whosoever. Not a whatsoever. What and who are totally different. And look what it says here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
How simple is that? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I look at that verse and say, wow, so faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Yes, the word of God. The word of God. The more faith you get is because of the amount of word you get, because it's the word of faith which we preach. So I got some more in realities here. We come down to a close. In reality. Everybody say in reality. That's real time. That's life. Okay? Listen. In reality, faith is birthed when words are heard continually. I mean, I get it one time. In reality, real life, living, faith is birthed when words are heard continually. How do I know that? Because Romans 10:8 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Think about it this way. You might be trying to have faith for something, but you don't have enough word in you to get that faith pumped up. So guess what? Automatically you go over into fear, because it's easier to fear than it is to have faith. It's easy to get fear. Don't let a barking dog chase you. You chase it. Hello? Come on. Listen, this is what the reality is. This is real time. This is life. Faith is birthed when words are heard continually. Romans 10:17 says, we read this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's not just any kind of hearing. It's hearing by the word of God. Now, this pastor must be a word man. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You don't want anything but word. You can hear words all day long. You can read words in a newspaper. No good tomorrow. It's old news. This is good news. Hallelujah. Preaching myself happy here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In reality, words are in you before you know them. Y'all getting this? Words are in you before you know them. How many of y'all read your Bible? Amen. Words are in you. How many know your whole Bible? Jack Venimpi does. What I just said to you. So words can be in you, but you don't know them, because you can't speak what you don't know. Oh, Lord Jesus. Boy, this must be something good, because I'm really plowing here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In reality, just two more of these. In reality, words are spoken without knowledge of them. And then I say, okay, well, wait a minute. Wait, what was that saying? Glory to God. He said, listen to this. He gave me an illustration. What, you know what this is? So easy, right? Was there any sound there? That said something, didn't it? Right. No, watch this. Listen, this is so profound. Because we think we're not saying anything when we speak in real, real loud by sign language. He snuck that right in. It was a segue. He said, he shot that right in the middle. I said, what's that got to do with it? Watch. In reality, waves of hands is a thought word in action. It says hi, it says bye, it says stop, it says go. They used to have traffic cops. Did they say anything to you? If you didn't stop, they'd probably hit you in the window and yell at you. But other than that, it's just sign language. Right? That won't stop an 18-wheeler. Unless it gets right up to you and stop right in front of your toes. But waves of hands. So why did he stick that in there? I said, well, what's that got to do? He said, because there's a lot of people that say things with their hands that they shouldn't be saying. All right. And here's the grand finale. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. King James says it this way. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. That's the physical part. Soul and spirit, joints, and marrow. Watch this. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is. The word of God will discern what your thoughts and intents are. it will discern that. But watch this in other translations. So in other words, what I want to focus on, number one, is the word of God is quick. Another translation says the word of God is alive or living. So said that way, the word of God is alive and powerful. Didn't I say the power of words? Power of words. The word of God is alive and full of power, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit. It affects the whole man. And here's what happens to word people who put word in. It changes your blood maker, joints and marrow. That's where your blood is made. The word of God put in you in its fullness, alive, is a blood maker. I don't believe that stuff. It won't work for you. Come on, more people. I'm telling you, word people are healthier than most of the people I know. Word people. Why? Because they talk to themselves. They speak to that body. They speak to that thing, be removed and cast into the sea. They speak to themselves. They talk word to themselves. I said, God, that's it, isn't it? Since God said something, got something for it, who do you think you are, made in his image and likeness? You've got the same power inside you that raised Jesus from the dead. You got the same power, the same power. It's word power. The same thing that brought Jesus from the grave lies in you. So he's saying, use it. Use it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Full of power. So bottom line is, words do become visible, don't they? Hallelujah, let's give God praise.
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.